Right. The sun, the thumb position. The rule of thumb. I'll just let that sit there. I'm a big proponent of kind of being aware of tension, and to me, I mean, any time that I feel like my hand has to be fixed, in a fixed position, that's a bad thing for me. So it's, if you see me moving around a lot, that's all a statement that I like to make: a good left hand position, and right, for all that matter, for picking. It's more about arm position than it is necessarily with your hands. So you'll notice, if I'm up here on the neck, I'm moving from, so I'm constantly, my goal is to sort of always have clear access, four frets, four fingers. So, as that moves, I need to feel this even sense of how the fingers are kind of curved around the fingerboard. So it's, and it's hard to sort of define that. Like, again, you don't want it to be so rigid. But for me, it's just a matter of just always needing to feel that I've got all four fingers at play at any given time. Because, a lot of what I play is improvisational, and I really don't know. And so I'm, if there's a lack of like, I can tell I'm still warming up, and there was some sloppiness in that. And as my technique improves, I'll feel it become that much more solid. But again, it's the starting place for me is how the arm feels on the neck. And so, if the thumb jumps around here, that's just all a result of that. I like to think about, especially the left elbow a lot. So a lot of people, when you see play, they look at the neck of the guitar way out here, and the hand goes way out here, and that's really counterproductive. I can feel a ton of tension right there doing that. And what that also causes is, you've limited any, stretch or ability of the left hand to grab notes. So one thing to practice are just basic scales with a closed position, That's kind of where that's all comes from. And that, again, that's just, I keep my left elbow more on the inside, and that encourages that hand position right there. Some people call it, the way you would sort of hold a sandwich, the classic, or a hamburger. Okay, we're gonna talk to you. So that's why, I have smaller hands, and so, if it disappears behind the thumb disappears behind the fingerboard, that's what's going on too. That's just the way God made me. Yes, sir.
In your pick hand, what's your little finger doing?
Again, it's a lot of floating. Sometimes, it depends on what I'm playing. It's a real situational based kind of technique, which is hard. It's hard to talk about. But again, the starting block for me is being aware of tension and being aware of things that don't feel too rigid and pressured, and they have to be a certain place. So I don't anchor, I don't pull, I don't rest or anything. But I will use the pinky and the ring finger to kind of pivot. If I'm playing on the low strings, the pinky kind of rests against the upper E string. And that, for anything, for lack of any other term, sort of provides a little bit of a fulcrum. And I'm just trying, just like here, I'm trying to feel that I have access to four frets, at any given time or more. Here it's just trying to get the pick inside where the strings are. There's a, playing fairly quickly. You can drop the ball really easily on the guitar. It's such a physical thing to do. And so for me, a lot of times it's just working within these sort of parameters of where it feels right to me. And so I don't push the point of, I've got to keep everything right here, because again, that's a lot of tension, or curl it in or push or anything like that. That tightens everything up for me, and that's real counterproductive to at least to the way I feel that I need to be playing, the way I feel like I can produce the best tone. What's curious, a lot of times, one of the things I learned a long time ago is my tone and volume and speed all improved, you know, as I just relaxed. It didn't play as hard. It's a weird sort of paradoxical kind of thing to think about, but it really does work that way. You just say it's hard to trust it, so therefore it's more technique is as much or more about trusting yourself to get it done than it is anything. So that's specifically where, again, with the right hand, those are similar kind of concepts of if I'm playing up on the higher string. Kind of build from a right arm technique, a real rhythmic kind of right arm. The goal is to, when I go to a single note line, that it's the shift from rhythm to single note shouldn't be that big of a difference. Being aware of how it feels, the difference of rhythm playing. A lot of people, when I see at workshops and things like this and camps, the rhythm technique looks pretty good. It's when you go to single notes, you know, it suddenly, you know, everything clamps down, and you know, you can hear it. You can hear the notes stop ringing. Everything sounds sort of cluttered and things like that. So, and this, that's built from starting slow. You all hear a lot of us encourage play things slow, and that's what that is. Technique talk. It's good. Any other? Yes, sir.
Could you, along the same lines with your right hand, can you comment on moving at the elbow versus the wrist versus the...
On the right hand?
On the right hand.
Yeah.
Versus the thumb versus the wrist.
Yeah, the general movement of my right hand, again, I try to mimic as much of my, with my picking at least, try to mimic as much of the rhythm. I don't want, again, so much of a shift from rhythm to lead, so... obviously a pretty big stroke right there to get the volume out of the guitar, but one of the things I think about is our downbeats. See a whole lot of difference in rhythm and lead stuff. It certainly, there is a shift there, but for what I feel, I don't want to feel any new tension when I shift back and forth. And so from the elbow, just that the solid, whatever the rhythm dictates of whatever tune I'm playing. Some players like even Doc and Sam Bush, they have a real wide sort of pattern with their right hand, but the concept's the same. Basically, it should look and feel basically the same from the elbow. And so what happens with your wrist and hand, for me, it's, again, it's sort of an exercise in not thinking about it. What I want to feel, the way that feels nice and loose. I want to feel that same looseness in the lead playing. It's a little more defined, a little more precise, a little more acute. And once again, I'm just kind of out of the case here for about 20 minutes, and so I'm still kind of warming up myself. But that's where all that's coming from. Yeah.
When you're playing improvisationally, do you start with certain scale frames and kind of work in and out of them, or do you just kind of run with whatever you're feeling like?
A lot of times, you know, the spirit behind improvisation is a heavy topic to get into. Kind of depends on the tune. A lot of times I'm led in a fiddle, when you're, I think when you're soloing over a fiddle tune, I'm led a lot by melody. I think when you think about it, a lot, I mean, we've all heard a thousand different versions of Building a Low Ground or something like that. And, you know, any variation from the melody, in essence, is a bit of an improvisation, no matter who you are or if it's recorded or not. So, you know, based on, you know, starting there, you know. Do you do that or... That in and of itself is a little bit, it's an improvisational choice. And so, you know, as an improviser, you're making choices about what to lead. You know, within a melodic fiddle tune like that, I'm going to try to think about what feels melodic, what feels like it could be sung, you know. When you get into bluegrass, it gets a little more scale and position based. Tempos are up, though, it's a little louder usually, you know. So you get more into those kind of bluegrass positions, you know. And those are all places to start, generally. Just, you know, we talked about the physical side of technique, the mental side of things. I use sort of starting blocks for note choice, and then just sort of see what happens from there. It's usually, you know, defined mainly by the spirit of the moment. But I like to try to, my goal for improvising is that the result is some sort of melodic statement, that it's not just a run of scales, a run of notes, you know, through chord changes, that they all, that things have, that they matter, notes matter. And again, that comes with time, it comes with a lot of trial and error. And the beautiful thing about it is that you never stop learning about those kind of things. I'm constantly kind of being challenged on, you know, the next level of where it could have gone and where it can go with those kind of things. So, yeah.
I'm speaking of improv. I love your jazz stuff.
My dad?
Yeah, your jazz.
Oh, my jazz
jazz
stuff.
Jazz drums too. And one of the songs I've never heard you play live, but it's at the Django. And I just wanted to play a little bit of that. And I was wondering if you have any jazz projects at all coming up or...
The whole sort of Manouche gypsy style Django Reinhardt is I love pursuing. I was heavier into it about 10 years ago. I don't do much of that anymore. But there's what I love about that is that stylistically there's a lot of similarities in that style and old time music. You know, tune based. It's a real spirited kind of dance kind of music. And, some of the nicer ones, there's, I love this, what's it called, Django's Castle. It's been a while. So that's a nice one to learn. It's got, basically, the chord positions are fairly easy. And then there's, you can sort of move in there. There's all kinds of kind of gypsy tricks, little cross picking kind of. Little sweepy kind of things. But that's basically, if you take a diminished chord, the top three, and it's like a sweep. It's up and then all the downs. Chord up four frets at a time. Yes. Tricks.
Yeah.
Classical? A little bit, yeah. I studied when I was in high school. And one of the things I've done recently is taken some of the pieces. There's a Bach prelude. Number 999, the D minor. It's a lute prelude, actually. And again, it's been a while, but it's a good one for the flat pick. Mm-hmm. And it's a short little piece. It's only like 2 minutes to play it, but it's real. If you have trouble with technique and things, that's one of the beautiful things about classical guitar is that it's a lot of the technique things that I talk about. A lot of the groundwork for that was laid when I was studying that, you know, left hand, especially those solid left hand things stem from that. So, any other questions or anything? If not, I'll go ahead and bring out my buddy Luke Bulla here. He's going to play some fiddle. Luke will be on stage with Lyle Lovett this evening. Lyle will be on stage with Luke.